أحمدك اللهم أنت الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and servant and the prophet. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the prophet and his households and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, as we revel in the blessings of Ramadan, we feel we are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we transcend the physical difficulties of Ramadan, and we transcend our biological component of flesh and blood to focus and recognize and feel our divine component that Allah blew into us when He created the human being to be His deputy and vicegerent on earth. We do ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that between last Ramadan and this Ramadan, some of us have exited this world to the more durable and everlasting world, and passed away, we ask Allah to shed His mercy and forgiveness on them. And we thank Him for enabling us to make it to this Ramadan. And when next Ramadan comes, we will be less because some of us are going to answer the call of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we hope we leave this Ramadan pure and clean, for this is the annual bath, the annual service. And if we make it, we would be in a state fit to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He calls us. And we ask Him to make the spirit and the nobility and the beauty of Ramadan stick to us for the rest of the year, so that we can be ready any time we are called. As we celebrate Ramadan, we celebrated other things within Ramadan. Laylatul Qadr, we are about to witness. The conquest of Mecca is a dear memory to Muslims. It was during Ramadan. The defeat of the Tatars was in Ramadan. And the defeat of the Jews in 73 was in Ramadan. And Ramadan this year comes when we are deeply grieved for what happens in Palestine. To him and him only we complain. We don't complain to another authority like a country. But we put our case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him either to show our enemy the light and guide him to justice, or else to deal with his justice with those who are unjust. We also notice that this year in particular, Ramadan comes together with other celebrations for other religions. There is a concentrate of events. Halloween went, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah. And this reminds me of various debates between Muslim brothers and sisters about the feasibility of participating in events of other religions that are not the two standard formal two aids of the Islam, that is the Eid of Ramadan and the Eid of Hajj. I have seen so many arguments and debates, sometimes animated ones, on what to do on those occasions, and whether it is all right to celebrate, for example, Laylatul Qadr, or to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, or to celebrate Islamic occasions that are not the two Eids of Fitr and Hajj. My feeling in this respect is that although nobody argues that Islam has two Eids, yet I think Muslims should seek every opportunity to be an educational opportunity, especially in non-Muslim lands, and especially as we raise up our children in a society which is not an Islamic society. It seems to me that some celebrations ought to be outright rejected by Muslims, deriving from pagan origins, like the Halloween, for example. I believe we should instruct our children that this is not ours, that we frown upon its idea, and that it is not for Muslims or Muslim children to celebrate. Other occasions are neutral occasions, something like national events, Thanksgiving, for example. It is not a religious celebration, and yet there is no harm in sharing in it. And I am guided by the event of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam having the occasion in his mosque where the Ethiopians had such an occasion, and he allowed the spear dance of Ethiopia and even invited his wife Aisha in order to watch. When the Muslims went to Egypt, the Egyptians had the habit of celebrating the Nile flood every year, and they used to throw a beautiful maid in the Nile, thinking that this would please the river so that it comes with its inundation every year. He did not confiscate this. He allowed it, but he prevented the haram part of it, and that is throwing a girl into the river, and corrected people as they thought that the river had the control of itself, and said, "You river, if you are flowing on your own, we don't need you. But if you are flowing by the leave of Allah, then we ask Allah to bless you for us." These are neutral events, and there is no objection, perhaps, to observe them if you like. Some celebrations are religious specific. I don't think we have to celebrate Hanukkah with the Jews. Christmas is an occasion where in so many Muslim homes there is the debate that children want a Christmas tree, or shall we celebrate Christmas and give presents, etc., etc. This is a religious-oriented festival, which is not Islamic. Moreover, the way it is celebrated is neither Islamic nor Christian either. And we should teach our children that we do not celebrate Christmas. Until years ago, our children used to feel an inferiority complex if not joining the Christmas hullabaloo. And I'm very glad to say that yesterday I heard that a little boy at our New Horizon Islamic School was with his mother shopping, and the waiter in the shop asked him, "Are you celebrating Christmas?" Because they were buying toys. And the little boy very confidently said, "No, we do not celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the Eid of Ramadan." And that is the role of Islamic schools in formulating and strengthening the Muslim identity. Sometimes I get the question from a Muslim whose wife is not Muslim, and what to do because she wanted to visit her family. And I advise that there is no objection visiting her family as a matter of courtesy, but making it clear that we are not celebrating Christmas, we come just as a courtesy to them, and of course not participate in such a way or in such festivities, including drinking, etc., etc., that usually goes on such an occasion. celebrations on the various days, no doubt, are a bonanza for commerce, because everybody is buying a present to give everybody else, and the money is wasted in this respect that could have been better utilized. But I want to caution that on occasions I have seen Muslims debating in such a way that there are mutual accusations, and someone accusing the other of blasphemy or being a kafir or going with the kuffar, etc., etc. No, this shouldn't happen. After all, the whole issue is not one of the basic components of Islam. It is not touching on the five pillars of Islam or the articles of faith. And although Muslims might disagree on this, they should make their disagreement in a loving way. Because if you mingle amongst Muslims, you soon realize that it has become easy for Muslim to be angry with Muslim, to scratch Muslim, to shout at Muslim, even to hate Muslim. And this defeats the purpose. Because after my long years, I have come to the opinion that there is a loving crisis, a love crisis between the Muslims. And without addressing this, I don't think the Muslim Ummah has a future. And I go back to remember the tender loving care by which the Muslims at the time of the Prophet handled one another. Alhamdulillah, our community here has been blessed with a loving nature. But this is not the image in so many Muslim countries or nations or Islamic centers. I believe that a heart where Allah resides has no room for harshness or bitterness or hatred. And therefore, we as individuals are the bricks, but no building can arise without being bound together by love in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can acquire this loving nature in Allah, my belief is that this would be the beginning of solving the problems of Muslims everywhere. Given this loving nature, and the key of the personality of our Prophet was that he was a man with a loving nature. And if we do, then I believe our problems will begin to be solved. And in Ramadan in particular, one tries to clear his heart, to fill it with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love of fellow Muslim. And we ask Allah to instill in us the love of Him and our fellow Muslim, and to give us the transparency and the tenderness and the iman and the faith. Iman is green and beautiful. It is not harsh. It is not hard. It is passion and compassion. And we ask Allah in the month of Ramadan to inspire us to acquire this loving nature and to live it and live with it for the rest of the year to come. And we hope that our fasting will be acceptable by Him. And if you want to ask the question, if it is my fasting accepted or not, there is a simple test. Look into your heart. Do you see any bitterness or resentment or arrogance, perhaps, to a fellow Muslim? If your heart is clean and clear of rancor, then hopefully your fasting will be accepted. But if still you go refraining from food and drink, and your heart carries some dirt of rancor or bitterness to fellow Muslim, then you have to work on yourself. We open the last 10 nights in Ramadan. Perhaps the occasion is too precious to waste. And let us talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us focus on Him. Perhaps an extra few rak'ahs. Perhaps a dua. Perhaps a munajat, that is, even in silence, you address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask His mercy and forgiveness and ask Him to give you love. And He listens and He gives. And He loves to be asked. So ask Him and inshallah He will respond positively. And I say this knowing that perhaps the occasion we are in is too precious to waste. And let them be 10 concentrated nights of closeness to Allah. Because according to Allah Himself, you can get closer and closer and closer to Him until He is your eyes to see, and until He is your ears to hear, and until He is your foot to go about, and until you become a divine servant, you say to a thing, be, and it is. As in the Hadith Qudsi, Ya Allah, accept us. We are knocking at your door. We are entering into your gates. Accept us clean and pure and believing in you. Wa salli Allahumma ala Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear brethren, it is Ramadan. Don't leave it behind you. Take it with you for the rest of the year. For it is the spirit of Ramadan that should maintain us and should keep us as close to Allah as He likes us to be close to Him. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء يا رب العالمين اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك اللهم دافع عن الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من عاملنا بظلمه فعامله بعدلك واملأ قلوبنا بالحب يا رب العالمين وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة